That means ready for change in your life. I guess I need to preach another 10 weeks then, don't I? Because you know me, I'll just keep preaching until we get there. How many know that we need change in our life, don't we? Yes. How many like to embrace change? I don't. I don't know about you. I don't like to embrace change. I've admitted that we have a hard time. Our human nature is hard sometimes to embrace change. And so we're talking about this today, and we've been talking about it over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, today we're talking about it again, pressing through your issue. And we're talking about what it means to learn to change. And we're people who don't like to change, don't we? We have a hard time changing. We have a hard time changing colors. Our favorite color is our favorite color. You know, we buy the same color car time and time again. We use the same color of paint. We use the same color of clothes. We change our favorite shirt in the same color we had before. I mean, we are people who do not like change. Some people come in today. We've been growing since the first year. We've seen a lot of new people coming in. So some seats are getting dispersed differently. People coming in a little later and say, man, my seat's not there, and I've got to change. I'm still on this side and this side. And people are, I can see it in their walk, like, man, you know, I don't like this. I don't like change, but change is good. And we know that change brings what? How many are glad that we don't carry away around our cell phones the way we did back in the 1980s? Can you imagine how addicted we are to our cell phones? I remember when I was in high school, you know, they had these cell phones and you could buy in a bag. They were fake cell phones because the real ones cost so much you couldn't afford them. So I would go buy a fake one. I had this big fake one in my car plugged in. They had the fake antenna, you know, and I had the bag. And I'd be talking on it, be like, wow, he's got a phone. It didn't work. It was just fake. Because I couldn't afford the real one because it was so expensive back then. But how many glad times have changed and I don't have to carry around a cell phone this big no longer. But I can guess I got a little one now. It's so little you can't even see it. You're like, you know. I used to talk on the phone. That's a toothpick. What is that? You know, it's so small and convenient. Now we see change is good. We have to embrace change, though. And many times we don't like embracing change, but we learn that change many times is for our better, and most of the time is for our better. And when it comes to our growth with Jesus Christ and our spiritual walk, that change is good, that we need change, that we get stuck in ruts that we talked about last week, and we learn to break out of that rut and say, God, I want to learn to be the man you called me to be. I want to learn to be the woman you've called me to be, that I have a God-given destiny. I'm going to learn to follow that and to go for that. And so change helps us embrace that call that God has upon our life. And today we're going to talk about pressing through your issue. Now today I know that many of us here that we don't have any issues in our life. That maybe I'm the only one here who's ever had an issue in my life that I had a hard time dealing with. And I know many of you here, this probably only speaks to maybe one or two people. Because you guys just never have issues in your life, do you? No, we all have issues in our life. Even you, Pastor, yes, even me. We all have issues in our life that we're dealing with and we have to deal with constantly on a daily basis. And today I'm going to talk about pressing through your issue. We've talked about Jacob in the last few weeks. We talked about Barnabas. We talked about the paralyzed man who was paralyzed and lowered down to Jesus. And all these people have some great issues. And today we're going to talk about another woman who had today, another person who had a big issue in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. We're going to read this today in Mark 5, 24 through 34. And I'm going to have it on overhead today. Let's read it all together. As you see, this is the New King James Version I have printed up here today. I'm going to read it to you. Let's read it together. Let's pick it up in verse 24. Just a second. You see, Jesus, first of all, Jesus had just crossed over the Jordan River here. And as he crossed over the river, there was a man waiting to say, hey, my daughter's about to die. Come quickly. She needs to be healed. And so Jesus is rushing to heal this man's daughter. So this is the story. As he's rushing to leave to heal this man's daughter, verse 24 says this. So Jesus went with him, the man, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Have you ever been there before? Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing that himself, the power had gone out of him, he turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you. You say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But this woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Today, listen, today, many of us in our life, as we read this translation, different translations, some even use the word issue. This woman had an issue of blood. She had severe female problems, had been bleeding for 12 years. 12 years she'd been bleeding, and she was so desperate to find healing. Today, as we look at change in our own life, different ones of us here, we have different issues that we are facing. And I want to make a few observations about the story today and talk about this. I believe God's going to do some things in your life if you apply this to your life today. The first thing I want to talk to you about is, first of all, she was a woman with an issue. She was a woman with an issue that all of us have issues in our life. Her issue was the sickness she had had for 12 years. She had severe bleeding for 12 years, and she was not able to get help. The Word of God says she had went to all the doctors. She had spent all of her money on all the doctors, and still no one could help her. And she had a major issue in her life. And I wonder how many of us today, how many of us have issues today we walked in with? How many of us today walked in with different issues we are carrying? What's your issue today? If you could do a little self-survey in your heart, what's the issues you have in your life today? What's the very thing that you need God to do in your life? What's the very thing that you're battling with? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a spiritual battle that you're going through. But what is your issue today? What is the issue that you're going through today in your life? Because if we were to be truthful today, all of us have issues in our life. All of us have things we're going through in our life. If we go around and ask over here, this section, guess what? Every one of us have things that we go through in our life. Every one of us have things we're dealing with. And today, maybe sometimes what happens in our life, we feel like we're the only one who's going through the problem. I'm the only one in my church who's suffering through this. I'm the only one who's feeling discouraged. I'm the only one who's feeling depression. I'm the only one who's going through a sickness. I'm the only one. And we have all these things in our life that are issues that are pressing us. But you get to realize today that, first of all, that we have issues. We got to admit it, and you're not alone. That all of us have issues, and different ones of us have issues we have to face in our life. She was a woman with an issue. The second thing we have to realize is this. You must press past your issue, or your issue will become you. You must press past your issue, or your issue will become you. This woman had become so adept to having this issue, she had carried it around for 12 years. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She had spent all of her money on doctors, and now all the hope she had was gone. She had felt like, you know what, man, I just can't do anything else. The doctors can't do anything for me. Nothing's happening here. She had felt hopeless. And you know what, today, you must learn that, you know what, I have an issue in my life. And if you don't deal with the issues in your life, eventually that issue will become you. If you don't deal with the issue you have in your heart today, the thing that you're carrying around, unforgiveness, hurt, bitterness, sickness, things that you carry around in your life and I carry around in my life, if we don't learn to deal with those issues that we're dealing with on a daily basis, pretty soon that issue becomes me. You find yourself talking about that issue. How you doing today? The first thing you talk about, instead of talking about how you really feel or about what you're really going through, you'll talk about, you know what, I'm going through this issue. And pretty soon you're talking about the issue, and this issue becomes you. And even if you're having a good day, pretty soon you're talking about this issue like it's a major thing in your life, because you have made it a major issue, because this issue is controlling you. Would you help do this? I would, but I got this going on. Would you lead a small group? I would, but I'm dealing with this. I would give to God, but I would tell people about Jesus, but I would help people out, but I would be a better husband or wife, but I would be a better employer, but this issue. And pretty soon, these issues control our lives. We allow these issues to rise up, and if we don't deal with the issue, we'll never get past the place of change that God has for us. We got to learn today, what is the issue in your life? What is the issue in my life? Take a self-survey and say, God, what is the issue that I'm dealing with in my life? What is causing me not to change in my life? What is causing me not to get past this point? I hit a wall in my walk with you, God. I hit a wall spiritually in my life. What is causing me not to do that? What issues are holding me back? Is it fear? Is it pain? Is it emotional bondage? Is it, you know, a physical issue? Is it something going on? What is it is my issue? What's the issue that I'm dealing with in my life? We have to identify that. Because if we don't, pretty soon we find ourselves that issue is ruling us. And I've met too many people that when I talk to them, the issue, it's all about the issue in their life. It's all about the issue in their life. And we want to talk about what God's doing in their life. We want to talk about what God can do in their life and what God wants to do. But they're stuck at the issue. Some people here, you were divorced 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, and you're still stuck back to that divorce and what happened to you 15, 20 years ago. What is the issue that you have not dealt with? What is the thing that you're going through in your life that is keeping you from getting past? But you don't know what my husband did to me. You don't know. You're right, I don't know, but God knows. And I'm here to tell you that God is bigger than any issue that you have. God is bigger than any issues you have. And today I'm going to tell you, we got to get past our issues if we're going to see change take place in our life. Pastor, I don't know why I never change. I want to change. I feel like I need to change. You're preaching about it, and it sounds good. But why am I still stuck? Why am I just treading water? I say, what issue are you dealing with in your life? We look back and say, what issues are tying me down? What issues are weighing me down in my life? What things have I not let go of? What things do I need to give God control of in my life that are keeping me from getting to the place God has for me? The next thing I want you to see is Jesus never went to her to be healed. She pressed to him. This is an amazing story. Because Jesus never went to her to be healed. He was on his way to heal the little girl who was needing healing. Father was taken into her house. He had no intentions of stopping and healing this lady. He had no intentions of going to this lady and say, all right, on the way here, hey, there's a great crowd here. Anybody need healing? Anybody need a touch today? No, he was in a hurry. He was leaving. He was going to a place to minister somewhere else. But this lady did not wait for God to come to her. She went to God. It's an amazing testimony when it comes to pressing through your issue that many times we're waiting. We're sitting there, all right, God, when you take it from me, I guess I'll change. God, when you take this issue out of my life, I guess I'll start doing something for you. God, when you take this issue from me, and that becomes our prayer, God, when you take it from me. Listen, there's got to come a time in your life when you break past your issue and say, you know what? I'm going to get there. God, I'm going to touch you. God, I'm going to find you. God, I'm going to press through this issue because I'm going to find you, God, because I know that, God, if I find you, Lord, you can heal my body. God, you can take care of my issue. So, God, I got to learn to touch you. I got to learn to go after you. And this is one of the most comical stories, if you really think about it. Some of you are thinking, what's so funny about the story? Because I'm going to tell you a point in the story that I think is one of the most funny lines I've ever heard Jesus say in his life. And realize today, I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but I just see things a little different sometimes. But here's the crowd. I want you to imagine this crowd, this multitude is gathered around Jesus. And they are pressing him. I mean, it's like, you know, the Beatles. He's trying to go through the crowd. I mean, they were just pressing to get at him and trying to touch him. I mean, people are holding their babies. You see how the Pope does? You know, the Pope goes by. I mean, even how much more were people trying to get to Jesus? I mean, holding up their babies. Bless my baby. Bless me. I'm sick. Do this. And all these people lined up wanting Jesus to touch them. Touch my baby. Touch my hand. You know, do this, do that. Here's my prayer cloth. Whatever you have in mind. You know, they want Jesus. They're trying to get to Jesus. Just get a glimpse of him. Just touch him. So, I mean, they are pressed up against him. I mean, you're talking about Christmas time. It's like the day after Thanksgiving in the mall. I mean, they are shoulder to shoulder. Don't you just love going, guys, don't you just love going with your wives the day after Thanksgiving to the mall? Being there shoulder to shoulder people, you know, fighting through the crowds. Isn't this lovely? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this is a scene we're talking about here. I mean, it is just packed with people trying to get to Jesus. And they're all touching him. And Jesus stops in the middle of this crowd. And looks at his disciples and says this right here, which I think is one of the most funniest statements Jesus has ever asked. He said, hey, who touched me? Now, I don't know about you, but if I'd have been one of the disciples, I'd have been very reverent about this, but I'd have looked and said, Jesus. Now, you're the same God who healed that little girl the other day. You're the same God who cast out that demon the other day. You're the same God who did this, the multitude. Yeah, you're the same. And Jesus, you want to ask me, who touched you? And looking at Jesus in this multitude, can you imagine what the disciples thought? I can see them taking off their glasses, looking at Jesus and saying, Jesus, are you crazy? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's touching you. I mean, everybody's touching you. Who touched me? Everybody. I know the answer. Everybody touched you. They all want to touch you. They're all trying to press to you. But see, there was something different about this woman's touch. There was something different about her touch that Jesus said, no, 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 no. He wasn't wanting to know who was physically touching him. He said, who's wanting to get past their issue? Who's wanting to change in their life? No, there's something different about this touch. That would cause them to say, no, who was that? There was something different that made you stop and say, no, that wasn't just an ordinary touch. That wasn't just someone shoving me. That wasn't just someone trying to let me touch their baby. No, there was something different that happened here. Jesus said, listen, hey, who touched me? He felt the power. It says the word of God says he felt the power leave him when she touched him. I mean, you're talking about being in a place where she wanted to get past her issue. The word of God says that she was pressed up. I mean, can you think about this, man? This woman, she was wanting to press to Jesus. And she touches him. And Jesus stops and says, who touched me? I mean, hundreds of people mobbing him. And he feels the different touch. You see, sometimes in your life, let me tell you this. There comes a time in your life when you want to get past your issue that there's nobody can help you. There's nobody who's going to help you get past that issue unless you decide yourself that I'm going to touch Jesus for myself. There's going to come a time in your life when you say, you know what, I could call the pastor, I could call a friend, they can support me, they can help me. But you know what? If I'm going to see myself past this issue, I've got to touch God for myself. And I believe that God designs every one of us that time in our life. He wants us to go through those times in our life. Because why? Because he's teaching me not to depend upon a man. He's teaching me not to depend upon a person, but depend upon him solely. And he's teaching me. He takes us through these times where our issues. We have some issues that we cannot get past unless we ourselves decide, you know what? The only way I get past is if I take my issue to God and I touch God for myself. There's going to come a time in your life when you're going to have to do that. I can remember those times in my life, different distinct times when I had to just find God, me and myself. Had to find God. I can remember, some of you have heard the story about my wife and I when we were first married and we've been married a few years and we're ready to start having children. And after a long time of trying to get pregnant, finally got pregnant and we had a miscarriage, got pregnant again, had another miscarriage. I mean, we were getting pregnant and having miscarriages. And I remember walking in after we'd been trying for a couple of years to have a baby and having miscarriages. And I walked in and I was trying to keep my wife encouraged. But I walked in and I could just feel the heaviness in my home. I could just feel that the issue of that facing us right in the face. And I remember my wife, she was crying and she just because she was so much despair, we looked at it and she goes, you know what? She goes, I just feel like I'm never gonna have a baby. I feel like I'm never gonna have a baby. And I remember at that point I was faced with an issue in my face. I mean, it was a point of ministry, of a Christian walk. I mean, it was one of those points, a turning point in my life. I realized, you know what, God, either you're gonna be the God you said you are in my life and my family, or I just don't know if I can do this. I mean, I remember having that point in my life of thinking, you know what, this is it for me. This is a point of coming face to face with God. And I remember spiritually saying, all right, that's enough. In a spiritual authority in my home, I said, you know what, we're not gonna speak that we're never gonna have a baby. And I began to walk through my home and say, there's going to be life in this home. There's going to be babies in this home. I remember I walked up to the back door and I opened the back door and I began to say, in the name of Jesus, I cast out any spirit of fear in my home. I cast out and I began to hit those issues straight on, began to pray over my home, began to pray over my wife. And of course, now 5 kids later, how many know the prayer works? I shouldn't have prayed so hard. But God, listen, 5 kids later, we're doing well. We're doing good. There comes a time in your life I had to face that issue head on. I didn't have to call my pastor. I couldn't have called a friend. They'd already prayed with me. They'd already been praying with me and agreeing with me in prayer. It was a time that I was, as a head of my home, I had to face an issue in my life. I remember when Hayden was born, and we had surprise twins, our last ones that were born. There was big surprises to us. We were not planning this pregnancy. Already had 3 kids, and was surprised to be pregnant. Surprised they were twins. And so they're 4 and a half now, and man, Hayden was born. We have Hallie and Hayden. We have 2 twins, one twins, 2 kids, obviously twins, and a boy and a girl. And Hayden was born with a bilateral cleft palate and lip, which means he had 2 holes right here going through the middle of his face. His nose was not attached. His lip was not attached. You could poke your finger to his brain if you put your finger in his mouth. That's how bad it was. It just was completely open in his mouth. And I remember looking at him and thinking, wow. And it's a scary thing. They didn't pick it up because of twins. They did not pick it up in the ultrasound because it was so crowded in there. And so it was a shock to us when he was born. We were not prepared for it. And I remember in the room, you know, so immediately as a husband, you try to be positive, you know, and we're caring for this baby and trying to keep my wife encouraged. You got to go out, keep the kids settled down, the family settled down, you know, going through this whole thing of walking through, keep my, it's going to be okay. The doctor said it's something to be fixed. You know, I'm keeping calm, but inside I'm like, ugh. I got an issue here in my life. I'm not really happy with this guy. And I remember about 4 o'clock in the morning, things had settled down. And I couldn't sleep. My wife had finally dozed off. And I walked down to the nursery, and I looked at that baby. And I got really mad. I said, God, I've been serving you. And I was, God, I've been doing your will. And I remember just telling God, God, I've been faithful to you. And I was like, God, how could I? How could I have to go through this, God? Why do I have to go through this, God? And I remember spiritually getting mad in my life, just thinking, you know. And I remember I went to a point where they'd given us these brochures, and you open these brochures up, and they're like, you know, 20 years old. They say, your kid can look like this, but they really, you know, it's not very encouraging. You're thinking, you know, I don't even, this, if you're calling this normal, you know, this isn't normal. I'm thinking, man, this is not what I want to deal with. This is not the issue that I want to deal with in my life. And I remember getting alone in that room. My wife had fallen asleep, and I got up, and I began to pray to God. And I just began to say, God, you know what? Even so, God, I'm going to call you blessed. God, even so, I'm going through this issue in my life. God, you are bigger than this issue. God, you're going to give us strength. Father, this baby is going to be a baby of health. Lord, he's a baby with a destiny. I believe you're going to give him full speech. You're going to give him back everything that needs to take place. You're going to bring the doctors that need to be in his life. I'm going to pray. I remember facing that issue head on. I couldn't call anybody else to help me go through that. I love praying with friends, and I need help, support from friends. And some of you helped us pray during that time. You know what we went through. But listen, there was a time in my life when I had to step up and say, you know what, God, if I'm going to get past this issue, I had to touch God that night myself. And I remember walking around in that room and just circling the floors and praying to God. And just me and God had some one-on-one. And I remember pressing through that issue. And I remember the Holy Spirit coming and flooding my life that night. And I felt him the strongest I'd probably ever felt in my life. I felt the love of God in my life the strongest in that room as he flooded that room. And he flooded me and gave me a peace and let me know that it's going to be okay. And I began to bless the Lord, and I began to praise him in spite of my pain, in spite of what my son was going to go through. I was blessing him. And I found that, you know what, I had to press through that issue. And I had to touch God for myself. And listen, there's going to come a time in your life when you're going through an issue in your life where you're going to have to learn what it means to touch God for yourself. To press through that issue. If not, that issue will overtake you. That issue will stop you from being the person that God's called you to be. That issue will stop you from making the move that God's called you to move in. You want to change, but that issue will hold you back. There's going to come a time you say, you know what, God? I am planting my feet by the tree, like a tree who's planted by the rivers of water. And man, you know what? I am not going to move, God, until you bless me. I'm not going to move until you and I deal with this issue. God, I've got an issue that I've got to deal with, and God, only you can help me with this issue. And God, I've got to break through it on my own. I've got to push, and I've got to touch. I've got to go through my issue, through my crowd of people, and I've got to touch the him of God. I've got to find God, and I've got to touch him. And I got to say, God, you are bigger than my issue. God, if I can just, Lord, I know if I can really touch your presence of God, if I can really be in your presence, God, I can really touch who you are to God, that you can take care of this issue in my life. There's going to come a time in your life when you're going to have to press the issue. We find in chapter 30, where David and his men had been out fighting. They came back to the camp, and he came back, and he had been attacked, and they had taken away his wife and his children, his possessions had all been stolen from him. And he says that his men wanted to stone David because he had taken away the war, and when he came back, all their wives, all their children, all their possessions had been stolen from them, from the enemy. And it says that they even wanted to stone David because he was in charge and let all this happen to them. You're talking about being distressed. The leader of all these men that you're trying to rah-rah, let's go fight, let's do what God's called us to do, and you come back and your wives have been stolen from you. Your children have been stolen from you. Your everything you've worked for, possessions have been stolen from you. And they burned down your village. I mean, you're talking about being distressed. You're talking about having an issue. What did David do? The Word of God says David encouraged himself in the Lord. That David encouraged himself in the Lord. See, there comes a time that you're going to say, you know what? I've got to learn to encourage myself in the Lord. Even though I'm going through an issue in my life, I've got to touch God for myself. I've got to press past this issue and say, God, I've got to have your spirit on this issue. God, you've got to be in control of this issue. We said David encouraged himself in the Lord, and after God met with him, David worked through that issue. He says he went out and he restored everything that they had stolen. They found their wives, found their children. They defeated the enemy and got back all their possessions, all their wives, all their children, returned back to them. But David had to face through the issue. He had to get through that issue and say, God, I've got to get along with you. God, you called me to go to war, and I come back, and they stole everything I had. I mean, you talk about having an issue with God. I'm sure David had a lot to talk about with God. All right, God, I'm obeying you, and my family suffers. I mean, he had a big issue in his life, but he says David found time to encourage himself in the Lord. I'm here to tell you today, if you don't get anything out of this message today, you get this right here. If you have an issue in your life, it's going to become a time that you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. That nobody else can encourage you the way God can. Nobody else can do it. When you're going to have to break through yourself to that issue. This woman, she was going through a major issue in her life. But she didn't wait for Jesus to come to her. And so that's what we do. All right, God, when you choose to heal me, God, when you choose to help me out, Lord, when you take away the bitterness, God, I'll do something for you. No, you say, God, you're going to take this or else. God, you got to help me, Lord. God, I'm giving it to you, God. I refuse to leave my knees, Lord, until you give me the answer. God, I refuse, Lord, to stop praying, Lord, until I hear your voice. God, I refuse to listen to anybody else, Lord, until I hear you encourage me and lifting me up and help me past my issue. It's going to come a time you got to push past your issue on your own. And say, God, I want to hear you. You got to press to him. But so many times in our life, we press to other people, don't we? We want to call somebody else. All right, so-and-so's got the answer. Or I can call this 1-800 number in a socket. They can tell me where I can go. Or I can call this, and they can tell me where to go. Listen, you'll never find the answer. You've got to turn to Jesus and say, God, I'm pressing to you with my issue. In closing today, let me give you three characteristics of this woman. Three things I believe helped her change. Number one, she was desperate for change. She was desperate for change. She was not satisfied with her issue. After 12 years of dealing with this issue of constant bleeding, she was not satisfied with her issue. She could very easily have said, you know what? The doctors have done all they could do. I spent all the money I could. I guess I don't have to carry this the rest of my life. I guess I'm going to have to carry this weight around with me for the rest of my life. This issue is going to weigh me down the rest of my life. I just got to deal with it. Suck it up and deal with it. She could have had that attitude. You know what? This is who I am. This is what I got to deal with the rest of my life. But this woman, she was so desperate for change that she was not satisfied with her issue. Today, I wonder how many of us have come satisfied with our issues, that we like the issues that we deal with because it gives excuses not to change. No, you didn't say that, Pastor. Yes, I did. I wonder how many of us don't want to face our issues because we don't want to change. Because we know if we'll press past our issue, that God will ask us to change and God will help us change. She was so desperate for change in her life, she was not satisfied with her issue. And number two, see submission out of her. She submitted her issue to Jesus. I wonder how many of us have issues that we really have submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Have we really said, you know what? Have I really taken to God? I've got to give this issue to you. God, this is what I'm dealing with. This is who I am. This is what I need to deal with. God, I've got to give it to you. God, this is the unforgiveness I have in my life, and I haven't told you about it, and I haven't given it to you. This woman submitted her issue to Jesus. She submitted to doctors. I'm sure she submitted to friends. But this is the first time we see her submitting it to Jesus, where she said, you know what, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just submit my problem to Jesus. And number three, determination. In spite of the pain, she presses through. In spite of the pain, she presses through. Can you imagine this woman? Been bleeding for 12 years. First of all, that amount of blood being lost, you know she was a very weak woman. Losing that much blood that long, she had to be very weak. I'm sure she had severe cramps going on in her body. I mean, you're talking about physically being in pain. 12 years of bleeding. Yet she finds enough strength to press through the crowd. She finds enough determination to say, you know what? I've got to get to Jesus. If I can just touch Jesus. If I can just get a touch of him. She was so determined that she was not going to let her pain, her weakness, or her issue stop her any longer. But she rose up one day and said, you know what? I'm going to touch Jesus. If you want to get past your issue today, there's going to have to be something that rises within you that says, you know what? I've got to touch Jesus. In spite of my pain, in spite of my issue, in spite of my weakness, I've got to press past that and say, you know what? I've got to touch Jesus. And when I touch Jesus, he'll say, who touched me? There's something different about that touch. This person is wanting to be changed. This person's wanting to be healed. This person's wanting to get rid of their issue. There's something different about this touch. I've heard them pray to me before. I've heard them talk to me before, but there's something different about this prayer. There's something different about this attitude. There's something different about this touch this time. They are wanting to get past their issue. Let's bow our heads today. With our heads bowed today, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Gene, as you're speaking this morning, I realize that I have a lot of issues in my life, but the biggest issue I'm dealing with today, more than anything, is the fact that I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never taken time to ask him to be Lord of my life and to forgive me my sins. And as you're talking and throughout the worship time today, I just felt in my heart that God's Spirit was compelling me to make him Lord of my life. Today, if you're here, you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, and today you want to make that commitment and say, I want to ask Jesus Christ into my life. I want to become a Christian today. I want to learn what it means to live for him. No one's looking but me, but can you just raise your hands? That's me. I want to accept Jesus today. Can you raise it high? I want to give you the opportunity, the same decision that many of us have made here before. Anybody here today, one more time, can you raise your hand? That's you. Second question I have for you today is this. See, Pastor Gene, as you're talking, I realize I've got some issues in my life that have kept me back from changing, have kept me back from growing. And as you're talking, I realize I've allowed these issues to become my life. I've allowed these issues to control my life. And today, as you're speaking, I just know that today I want to learn what it means to get past my issue. If God's speaking to you today and you want to get past the issues you're dealing with, can you just raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. It's fine. Yes, thank you. So I've got issues. I got some issues I want to get past today in my life. Anybody else? Can you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? You haven't raised your hands. That's me. I got some issues in my life I need to deal with. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Let's all stand together. If you raise your hand today, I want you to know some things here. First of all, that you're going to have to find a place where you and God can get alone. And you're going to say, God, I always raise my hand and saying I have an issue, but now you're going to find a place where you can say, you know what? It's not because of anything I did, but someone helped me, but it's because I pressed through this issue on my own. I'm telling you, God is here today. He is here to empower you, to press through your issue. He's here to help you when you seem so weak and you can't get it done. He's here to help you today if you allow him to help you. As I close today, I want to pray a special prayer for those who raised their hands. So I'm going to invite you today, if you feel comfortable, can you just raise your hands to heaven as a sign of surrender to God? We raise our hands as a sign of surrender to God. Say, God, today we surrender our life to you. Lord, we surrender everything we are to you, God. We pray to Father, no issues will hold us back. And Father, as we lift our hands up to you, I pray, Father, for every person who raised their hands when they said they had an issue that they want to deal with this week, God. I pray to Father right now in the name of Jesus, that God, that your spirit would begin to raise up a spiritual boldness in their life. That God, that this week, starting today, they'll learn to face the issues they've been running from. No longer are we going to run from our issues. No longer are we going to hide from our issues. But God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we're going to stand up. We're going to say, God, this is me. This is my heart. This is my issue. Father, I give it to you, and I'm going to touch you. I'm going to get alone in my prayer time with you. I'm going to get alone in my word time with you. I'm going to get alone, put on some worship music, God. I'm going to find your presence on my own. I'm going to press to you, God. In my car, I'm going to press to you. In my prayer time, I'm going to press to you. On my job, I'm going to press to you. Father, I refuse to walk around with my issue. But God, I'm going to learn to give it to you. That Father, you can help us press past our issues of forgiveness, of fear, of sickness, whatever it is, God, that's been holding us back. God, we are not going to be people of issue, but we're going to be people of promise, people of destiny, people of blessing who are walking full of the power of your Holy Spirit today. And Father, right now, as we lift up our hands as a sign of surrender to you, I pray that your Holy Spirit today, God, would empower us, God, with the spiritual boldness, not to run from our issue, but God, to face our issues head on, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, giving these issues to you wholeheartedly, God, pressing through our crowd, pressing through our sickness, pressing through our weakness and our pain, and Father, touching who you are and saying, if I can just touch you, God, you can take care of my issue. God, help us to have a hunger in Destiny Church. Help there be a hunger to God every week when we come in, God, there's a hunger to touch you. I pray there's a hunger, God, for your presence, God. That we don't come in, Father, just to be out of habit or out of spiritual obligation. But God, may there be a genuine thirst for you. May there be a genuine hunger for you. That God, when we come together, that your presence is strong. And God, when we come together, God, your presence is here to bring change in our life. We say yes to change. We say yes to change. We open up our hearts to you today, God. We say yes to change. Change us, God. Press us through our issues, God. Help us what it means, God, to plant our feet in you and to hold on to you and not let go until you bless us. To touch who you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are people of destiny and we're going to walk in our destiny. We're going to walk in the blessing. We're not going to stay the same. Never, never, never will we stay the same. But God, today is a new day to walk out of here in you. In the name of Jesus, we say amen. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake your hand, give a high five. We'll see you tonight at 5:30. Come for fellowship, okay? Be here. Let's meet. Let's get a chance to meet you and share with each other. Amen.